All right. We are eternally grateful for all your help this week. So many things happening. I think I was the only casualty from the zip line. I got a big knot on my head from that, but it wasn't my fault. But still, thank the Lord, it was me. Thank you for bringing your kids and for helping us. Father's Day, happy. We thank you. Happy Father's Day, happy. Happy Father's Day, that's wrong. So we're going to be quick because of our time, but it's good to see y'all. And again, thank you so much. We are actually touching on what we touched on Mother's Day, but I know y'all don't remember from Sunday to Sunday what I talk about. Probably, do you? Hello? I could probably repeat the same sermon the next week and you wouldn't even recognize it, right? No? Well, this is akin to it, but it's not exactly the same thing, but we're going to hurry. Father's Day is different than Mother's Day. If you're going out to eat today, you won't have any problem, okay? Mother's Day, you have a problem, but Father's Day, for some reason, they don't go out and eat. If you do, if you're going to take Father out for Father's Day, you buy, all right? One father's daughter was getting married to a boy she hardly knew. So dad started asking her, "Do you not really know this guy, you know?" And he started questioning, and he said, "Does he have any money?" She said, "You know what? You men are all alike. That's exactly what he asked me about you." Father's Day is different. It's good, though. Boswell, the biographer of Samuel Johnson, he wrote how Johnson talked about how many things in his life were really based upon a day that he had with his dad when he was a kid that his dad took him fishing. I mean, a lot of elements in his life were affected by that one day while he was a kid. And he was so amazed by it that he took the time, because he had heard that Samuel's father had been a journaler, so he was able to find Samuel's father's journal, and he tracked it back to that day that was so impressive on Samuel's life. And he said, I just want to see what take the father had about that day, because the son's life was changed with it. And he found the day that was happening, and this is what the father wrote. "Going fishing today with my son. A day wasted." Day wasted. Changed the son's life, but dad just thought it was a waste. That's sad. Unfortunately, that goes on quite often. It's not that important. It is important. And that's where we're going to go quickly. What about the next generation? You remember on Mother's Day we talked about that? We looked at these verses from Judges, and we're going to read just a couple more of them, because you remember when Joshua and them took the people over to the Promised Land, over the Jordan, Joshua lived another 110 years, and then he died. But while Joshua was alive and the leaders of his age were alive, the people served God. But after he died, this is what happened. "And also that generation were gathered together in their fathers." That means they died. "And there arose another generation after them that knew not Jehovah," God. That's the Old Testament name that they used for God. "Nor yet the work which he had wrought." They forgot. God brought them out of Egypt. They'd been there over 400 years. He brought them across the Red Sea. He delivered them out of the desert for 40 years. They forgot. So they didn't remember anything God had done. "And the children of Israel did that which was evil in the sight of God and served Baal." They kind of threw God aside and picked up all these other pagan gods. Baal, one of them. "And they forsook Jehovah, the God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt." Just one generation. You know what a generation is, what, 40 years? You know, I'm a generation. My child is a generation. That's all that means. "And followed other gods, the gods of the peoples that were around about them, and bowed themselves down." They served other pagan gods, not God, in one generation. "And they provoked God to anger." Made God mad. You know, God gets mad. Ezekiel, as we're going to see in just a minute, says the soul that sins will surely die. You know, we just don't hear that today in a contemporary church because God loves everybody and every day's a Friday and he just forgives you. You can live like hell if you want to and it's all right. No, that's not right. And they forsook God. They turned away from God and served Baal and Asherah, which were just pagan gods. And some of them sacrificed their own kids to these gods. And the anger of Jehovah God was kindled against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of the spoilers that despoiled them. You remember, the whole nation went into captivity twice, once by the Assyrians in 722, and then in 586 by the Babylonians, and they stayed in captivity 70 years. Boy, that gets your attention, and it did in theirs. And that's exactly what, and he sold them into the hands of the enemies round about, so they could no longer stand before the enemies. God said, I'm not going to defend you anymore. So they fell. He didn't take care of them. Wherever they went out, the hand of Jehovah was against them for evil they had spoken against God. And as Jehovah had sworn unto them, they were distressed. This word, as we said last time, is not just for men. It's for women. It's for parents. It's our responsibility. Why? Because of the generation that's coming after us. And it says, after he was gone, and those leaders that had that mindset, what God had done, and they lived for God, when they were dead, someone dropped the ball because the next generation after them really didn't have anything to do with God. And this is a question for us. What is our legacy? What are our children going to do? How are they going to live? And how are their children going to live? What are we doing? It says the people served the Lord all the days that these leaders, man, that's key, guys, men, as we're going to see. So goes the father, so goes the nation, so goes the leaders. Here it goes. Boy, that's where we are, and we can see it. Now, we're going to hurry, all right? The result of this was God was upset. You know, Ezekiel, as we're going to refer to in a moment in chapter 18, it just says it. One of the verses says, the soul that sins going to die. And then after that, judgment is what it says. He brought judgment upon them. Now, unfortunately, right where we are today, our society has attacked the role of a father in a male with so devastating, I mean, we've seen it, right? Right now, if you are white, male in the United States, you are trash. If you haven't picked that up lately, you're not paying any attention whatsoever. If you're white, you're already. You're just the king of suppression or oppression. But if you're a male, oh my goodness. But it didn't just start. Television programs, what have they been doing for years? Making fun of daddy. We don't listen to him. All he does is make money for us. We don't care what he thinks. We don't have anything to do with him. That we have sentenced we've sentenced my daughter and her children to a disastrous experience. Why? Because the male leadership doesn't exist. You know, if you don't think that's what's going on right now in the country, what is it? It's been going on for 40 years, and boy, we've seen it come to fruition in the last two or three. You know, that's exactly what this is talking about. Because if one thing is clear in the scripture is this, the sins of the father will be visited on the third and the fourth generation. Now, what does that mean exactly? We're going to take a few minutes for that because it's very misunderstood oftentimes of what that means. But that's exactly what it says in Exodus chapter 34. Keeping mercy for the thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and they will by no means clear the guilty. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children and the third and to the fourth generation. And what does that mean? Does that mean, well, I sin, so God's going to punish Meredith and all of her children and all her children's children? That's not what it means. Here's what it means. It means where you have wicked men in leadership. Do we have that? State level, local level, national level, have no reverence for God, don't care about anybody else. Boy, if we don't have epitome of that right now, what is it? When we have wicked men in leadership, where you have a decline in the father's role, some kids don't even see their own father a couple times a year, unfortunately. You know, that's what we're talking about. It takes three or four generations to turn that around. It takes three or four generations, if we're lucky. If my generation fails, it might turn around if the kids respond and don't live like I do, but live for God, it might turn around, but it'll take three or four generations. 100 years? 120 years? That's what we're talking about. That's what it says. I mean, that's what it is. We're not looking at a situation where because me, as a sinning father, three or four generations of my children will be punished. It's not a personal thing here now, all right? That's not what it's talking about. Well, sons will pay the penalty. Go back and read Ezekiel today, chapter 18. It's not very long. It explains exactly how this whole thing works. It forbids that in advocating individual responsibility. Is God going to hold you accountable? Yes. Is God going to punish me personally because my dad sinned? No. No. He's going to punish me because of my sin. But here's how it unfolds. But what we're seeing is that because fathers lead a nation, a wicked generation of fathers will affect that generation's children, and then the next generation, and then the next generation. If the president can get away from way with lying, why do I think you should hold me accountable? See how that works? You know, if the president can lie under oath like Clinton did and get away with it, well, you can't hold me accountable. Ain't that right? You see how that works? When the leaders, that's what he's talking about in this context, will so impact that nation that for three or four generations, it takes that long for that wickedness to turn around and for somebody to live godly again, as a general rule, from a national standpoint. I believe that legacy of this generation of fathers is absolutely bringing a tragedy upon my children. I'm going to make it. Meredith's going to suffer. And Meredith's children are going to suffer. Why? It doesn't turn around that fast. You know, that's who I feel sorry for. I don't really feel sorry for me as bad. I'm going to root hog or die. You know, we were raised that way. You're just going to make it. But what about the ones who are coming after us, Meredith and her children? They're going to suffer for the crazy leadership we've had for the last 30 years in the United States. That's what he's talking about there, guys. And a lot of it is we're not responsible enough when we even go vote. You're going to vote in a moron and expect it's not going to affect your children? Hello? That's what this is talking about. Leadership. Leadership in the house, leadership in the city where you live, leadership in the county, leadership in the state, leadership in the nation. The whole nation suffers. That's exactly the way it was with them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation. He repeated it again in Exodus chapter 20. You know, that's what he says. That's the way it's going to be. The children share in the father's punishment because what? You know, I have living proof this is the way it works. Thank the Lord, myself and my brothers and sisters, we didn't follow in a legacy of alcoholism that was in our family. Did they suffer from it? Yes, they did. Have we suffered from it some? Yes, we have. But God's not going to be punishing me for that. But I can look back at how many generations before me, that's where everyone was. And it's just by God's grace. Boy, I ain't patting myself on the back. It is just by God's grace. I didn't follow in my father's footsteps. Is my dad going to be responsible? Yes. Am I going to be responsible? Yes. I made a choice. I'm not going to do that. That's what that means. The children share in the father's punishment because they stay after the father's sin. That's why, fathers, you better be careful, because how you live in front of your kids is monkey see, monkey do. It ain't, well, you do what I say, do. Oh, no, they're going to do what they see. And, boy, we have it in our extended family. The way some of the parents lived in front of their children's now already, three generations after that, living like pagans. Why? Because that's how you see mom and dad live. What do you expect? It's only by God's grace that they get out of that. They haven't yet. And that's two generations right there. You know, that's kind of where we are right now in the United States. Exactly where we are, Dad. It's important for us as leaders to lead our own house, but to be responsible about who we put in places of leadership. Well, I don't care if they're pagan as long as the economy is good. What? That's what it was with Clinton. Everybody knew he was a whoremonger before they put him in there. Oh, but he keeps the economy rolling. You see what I'm talking about? And look what has happened since then. You just keep going down. I mean, you say, why would you say that's a fact? Look what he did in Arkansas. What? Did you know? And how many times do people say, well, we don't really care how he lives his life as long as the economy is good. Remember that old saying? You can't live crooked and think straight. Doesn't work. It doesn't matter if you're the chauffeur or the chief of state. Remember that song, some of you were kids back in the Berkeley days when everybody was singing these songs that meant something like Bob Dylan and them? Well, it was true. Still true. Ezekiel teaches that any child that turns, if you don't repeat the same sins of your father, you're not going to receive the punishment your father received. That's what it says. If any child that turns from the sinful ways of his father and obeys God, he's not going to punish. But again, sometimes it'll take three whole generations, four generations, for that to turn around, to weed out that wickedness. You know, Meredith started looking at that DNA stuff for one of her birthday presents a long time ago, and I was kind of scared of it. Because I knew enough about our family that the ones I knew that were living. But she said, okay. So she did. No history in my father's side or mother's side of any preachers in the family. And she went back to the 1700s. They did all kind of stuff, but it wasn't preaching. You say, well, all those generations? That's right. And it's only by God's grace. Boy, I don't pat myself on the back ever. It is a miracle I'm not alcoholic. I just said, hey, I don't need that. And God was able to show me that early on. I said, man. And remember now, I grew up in a time when everybody drank. The teenagers, everybody drank. That's what they live for on the weekend. So you find yourself saying, hey, I know where that goes. I'm not going there. And they laugh at you and they call you all kind of names because you don't participate. A lot of them are dead now. Why? Because of that. You know? If you don't follow your father's sin, he's not going to punish you. That's not what that means. It means as a whole, the whole generation, as the fathers or the leaders, their children will suffer if their children, and you know, that's exactly what happens. A lot of times, our children follow in whose footsteps? Their parents. You know, used to be if you grew up on a farm, you were a farmer. Used to if you grew up and your dad was a baker, you were a baker. That's just the way it was. Y'all remember those days? Now it's not because people move out of the world. And I mean, move away from home, they do something different, so it doesn't mean that anymore. That's the way it was in the day of Israel. If your dad was a farmer, you were a farmer. If he grew grain or if he grew sheep, that's exactly what you did. It just kind of, same thing happens. You were influenced by them. That's what this means. Exodus teaches that any child that goes on sinning like his father will receive that punishment. You know, and that's where we are. By and large, you talk to the majority of people out there today, they have no respect for God, and therefore they don't respect anybody else. That's why it's okay to walk in the store, and as long as you don't steal more than $900 worth, we shouldn't be able to persecute you or prosecute you. Right? Ain't that the way it is? Who made that decision? Men. Wicked men in California. See how that works? You think anybody's suffering out there now because of it? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Why do you think we're suffering in the United States? We've been making bad decisions for 50 years. You know, you start killing babies and somebody's going to pay for that one. And we're paying for it. We just haven't even seen the real debt of that one yet. Why? Who made those decisions? Wicked men. Wicked men. You said, well, I don't care. I don't care about where you stand on any of that stuff. I'm telling you, history shows, so goes the father, so goes the leaders, so goes the nation. Dad, who are you raising up? What's your legacy going to be? How are your children going to live? I understand that. You can do everything right and they still grow up and be a pagan. I understand that. But what are you doing so they can do it? Know that at least the right side of the thing, right? All of us made mistakes, and we just need to go back and apologize to our kids and our grandkids. Say, oh, boy, I missed that one. I'm sorry. Don't make the same mistakes I made. Don't do that. When God visits the sins of the fathers on the children, he doesn't punish sinless kids for parents' problem of sins. That's not what it means. I've heard that all my life. That's not what that means. Do the study. We have to hurry. He simply lets the effects of the father's sin take their natural course. That's what we see in the United States. If you don't know how that's working, that's exactly what you're seeing. The natural course, when you have pagan leaders over time, this is where it goes. And my children are going to suffer for it. You know, I haven't suffered much yet. I probably will before I die if I live another 15 years. But they will, she will, and her children will. This is what we're talking about, dads. You look at that and you say, man, I sure wish my dad would have been a more godly leader than he ever was. He never was a godly leader for me. Never. And, you know, just by God's grace, again, that I didn't turn out like him. You know, my brother did for a long time, and then he said, oh, this ain't no good. Thank the Lord he didn't ruin his life before he quit. So I'll throw this in real quick. I have no use for alcohol in any capacity because all I know about it is bad. Okay? If you ever wonder, what he thinks about that? I'll tell you right now, I don't like it. I can live for Jesus without it. You know, I can find peace without it. I can get a good feeling without it. You know, because all I know is negative. Well, are you going to judge me? No, I'm not the one judging you. Jesus is going to judge you. But just be careful, because it says in Matthew, a drunkard will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So if you start drinking now and you can end up being a drunkard, you can end up in hell. So you might want to think through that a little bit. Okay? I'm trying to help you. No, again, I don't stand there and judge over. If you want to be an alcoholic, go ahead. I know the ramifications that when you're around people that are alcoholics, it's never positive. Okay? This is not a sermon against alcohol. I'm sorry. This is a hard case for us, guys. It is. The more we let sin get the upper hand in our lives, the more our children will suffer. Do we understand that? When I act like an idiot in sin in my life, do I understand how it's going to affect my kids? Oh, it is. It does. It will. That's the whole point he's trying to make. My children don't suffer because I have it. They catch it from me. They inherit it from me. It's called sin. And I got it from Adam. Thank you, Adam. You know, that's how it's passed down. They have it. So they have to understand that. Here, quickly. A lot of lessons. Proverbs gives us a whole bunch of lessons. It happens to deal with, he'll just said, fathers teach your sons. Now, let's qualify that. In that day and time, who were the leaders? Not women. Okay? Mothers teach the kids. Fathers were supposed to teach the ladies, absolutely. But whenever he addresses all these things, he says, fathers teaching your sons. Why? Because they were the leadership. Therefore, as the leadership goes, there goes the nation. So that's why he's pointing that out. Should the dad teach the females in the family this? Absolutely. Should the mom teach it? Absolutely. I'm not segregating that. He just addresses the sons by the two. He addresses by the fathers the sons in this area. I think that's a major deal with it. You know, that's just the way it was. It's not that way now. You know, ladies lead in all kind of places. Not saying they were wrong. That's the way it was, and that's what God worked with. All right? Hear my son, your father's instructions, and while at the same time not forsaking your mother's teaching. You better listen to her. Yeah, because dad sure doesn't know it all. Does he? No, he doesn't. I don't know it all. And so it goes in the entire passage designed for the father to teach a son. There's a reason for that. Go look at the context. Why? This is the way it is. As a father goes, so goes a nation, so goes the generations, so goes history. It's not by fluke that we're where we are now or by chance. How did we get here? Just do a little history on it. You can see. Leadership. Everything rises and falls with leadership in the family, in the state, in the nation. Isn't that right? Look at what's going on by some people that's got some sense in different places of leadership in different states. They do these things. They don't do these things. Why? Just because of what we're talking about. He took their principles and he squished them all together in Proverbs, the whole book. You know, we're going to look at just a couple of them real quick. The main principal duty of the father is to teach your sons holy living. What does that mean? In every one of these aspects, all right? That's what it means, wisdom. Be wise. Be wise. Do the right thing. The call of the whole book is this. What are some of these real quick? That means we might have to rethink the way everybody else says we should do things right now. Because as a general rule, the world doesn't see this as important or even right. They wouldn't agree with us on this. Number one, it starts with, they have a relationship with God. You got to have one before you can teach them. So that might be where you need to start. You might be here and you don't have a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus. You need to back up and start there. Then you might be able to do some of the things that he's talking about. Why? Because if you don't know how you're going to teach somebody, you know, that's what it is. It means that I have to teach my son about God, what he demands, who he is. He's going to punish you. Sin brings this. All those aspects. They learn a lot quicker than you think they learn and understand a lot quicker than you think they understand. Make sure they know it. They're not going to get it from the school. I don't care if they go to a Christian school. They're not going to get that. What kind of legacy are we leaving? How are we teaching those kids? How have you been teaching them? That's why I say if you made a lot of mistakes already, you might need to go back to your kids and your grandkids and say, man, I blew that. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? What I did wasn't right. That's all you can do if you already made the mistake. And say, don't make the same mistake that I made. About living in a fear of who God is. And because of that, you know what? If you fear God, you'll fear sin. You know, when I say fear God, it means that you're afraid of him, but you have a respect because he created everything. You owe him everything, so he's in charge. And when you understand that and you're afraid of that and you respect him that much, then you will fear sin. That's what that means. And you have to teach that to them. They're not going to get that anywhere else. Do we understand that? Nobody thinks they have the right to be punished these days, right? That's why you can steal and nobody can punish you. Why? Because I've been oppressed all these years. So now I have the right to steal anything I want or do anything I want to. Isn't that where we are? Yeah. Do we live to avoid that? Tell your children, you don't have to worry about what the punishment is if you don't break the law. What's the fine for speeding? It doesn't matter if you don't speed. Isn't that right? What's the fine for drunk driving? It don't matter if you don't drink and drive. Why don't you go back to that one? You know? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. You got to help them think about some of this stuff. Where they get it from? What are they going to do? How do you do it? In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. That's a good one to memorize. In all of that, you're teaching them that God is in control, that they need to submit to his authority. Why? Because when you do that, then you'll fear the very fact that you could be punished for these things. You know, God is going to punish people, right? I know Joel Osteen and a lot of those guys out there said, oh, no, that's, you know, hell's not real. We're just going to cease to exist when we die. Now, everybody's buying into that nonsense. It's just not biblical. The verse in 18, Ezekiel says, the soul that sins will die physically, and then the rest of that in eternity, they will be damned. It is coming, whether you believe it or not. Not only fear God and keep, but guard your mind. Stay away from that internet trash. Can I sum that up real, real easy? About 95% of the stuff on the phone is trash. And a five-year-old doesn't need that. But you really got to help them understand you need to guard your mind because what goes in there is going to come out there somewhere. I remember reading when Bundy was about to be killed. A few years ago, he only allowed one interview all this time. How many people did he kill anyway? A bunch. You know, who are you talking about? Ted Bundy, right? Killed a lot of people just for killing them. And the only person he would allow to interview him was James Dobson. Everybody tried to interview him, and he's the only one he would allow. You know what he surmised it as? I got here because I started with pornography when I was a child. And you're counting the steps. Started there. This. Guard your thoughts. There's so much trash out there on that telephone now. If you're not watching it out for those kids, it is just ungodly what the devil is doing. That's what it means. Guard your mind. Why? Because from there comes what? You know, it says it in several places. You know, guard your heart. But why? Because from it comes everything else about your life. Well, you have to hurry. Why are the rest of them? Watch over your heart with diligence for it all comes. That's exactly the verse. The notes will be in there. Teach your son to obey your parents. That's a cuss word. They don't know what that means. We saw a lot of kids here this week. They don't know what that means. Am I right or wrong? Sometimes you have to say, oh, we don't do that here. By the way, you know, I got the sheriff's cell phone on my phone. You want me to call him? Because you don't own this place. I can have you removed. I didn't have to go that far, but I'm willing. If they don't learn to obey you, you think they're going to obey God? If they don't learn to respect you as a, because when they're a child, you're God. You see how that works? You better teach them to obey and respect somebody older than they are. And if you don't, they're never going to respect and obey God. That's why they're looting everywhere. They don't respect anybody, steal anything from anybody they can. Why? Because that's what we've been feeding them for the last 40 years in universities. You know, that's what it is. If you don't see all this woke, crazy stuff, perfect example, this Israel-Hamas stuff, they don't have a clue what they're even griping about. They don't know any history of Israel. They don't know any history of any of that stuff. Oh, you see what? You see what I'm talking about? Fathers, It's our responsibility. That's why you need to think about who you're putting in a place of leadership, who is going to make these laws that will affect our children. Because they are. Let's go ahead. Oh, this is great, isn't it? Remember that one? This is the first of the Ten Commandments that has a promise. It says, obey your father and the mother that your life may be long. Wow. Yeah, you respect your mom and dad. Doesn't mean you agree with everything they say. You respect them and honor them. He said, I guarantee you, I'll make your life better. That's what he said. You ain't even got to be saved for that one to work. That's right. You know how that works, right? Yes. We have a task that to learn. If they don't respect you and obey you, why would they respect God and obey God? They won't. No reason for them. They have to learn to submit to authority. That's what it is now. Nobody wants to. You can't tell me what to do. I said, I'm about 200 pounds bigger than you. I can tell you what to do. You see? You got five-year-olds running the house? Are you kidding me? Where are we going? Where we are right now. 18-year-olds out there who think they got the end of the world and they can't even tie their own shoes. That's where we are, isn't it? It's bad. It is really bad. We have the responsibility to teach our children how to choose their friends. You know what that old saying was? No, I won't say that. Why? Why is this important? My son, if sinners entice thee, don't consent. You know they do drugs all the time. You don't need to hang around with them. You know they do this all the time. That is their nature. You don't need to have anything to do with them. You can be friendly to them, but you don't hang out with them. That's what that means. They don't have enough sense early on who to hang out with and who not to hang out with. They don't. You know, they have that passion and drive. They don't have it. They don't have any reasoning yet about this until you teach them. You know, that's what it is. You're going to develop passions that will lead them in a horrible situation. They just don't have it yet. We got to help them. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even if the foreigner that flattered her words. Everybody's going to have the syrup running out of their mouth, and it's going to sound so good, and it's going to destroy them. You got to help them because they can't do it yet, you know? Our responsibility, Dad, how to treasure and treat his wife. You need to teach him how to respect ladies. That's gone. As a general rule in our society right now, it's gone. You know, if I would burp in front of girls when I was growing up, they'd never speak to me again in my life. It was that bad. We didn't do that. You know, now even the girls do it. I'm thinking, you think that's womanly? Why you do that? You know, that kind of stuff. You just teach them, you don't act like that. Why? Because it's just not good. If you do that, I'm sorry. You need to repent. You know, if you have a problem with indigestion, go out in the back of the house when you have to burp so loud. Don't just do it in front of a lot of people. I see teenagers do it, and I'm like, who raised you? Really? That bothers me. You would never do that growing up. And anybody around us would correct you, not just your mom and daddy. Hello? Now they have you arrested. Anyway, how to treat ladies. You got to teach that. They ain't going to get that anywhere else. That's for sure. Teach them how to work. And teach them to work. Boy, there's a lot of lazy bums out there now. You know how many times I have people call me, do you know anyone good that will work that you can recommend? No, I don't. You know, any young men that are looking for a job, I mean, I just love to have somebody show up. Show up. Monday's a day off now. Did you know that? It's a national day off for everybody. Yeah. And my own family. Boy had a good job, no education, a great job. They're paying him, wasn't hard work, full benefits. He wouldn't show up on Monday. So his boss man told my brother-in-law, he said, he's one of the greatest workers I got. If he misses one more Monday, he's gone. He missed that Monday and he's gone. Why? Don't want to work. You got to teach them that. All of us have a lazy bone, most of us. You know, work. You know what it says? How many days shall thou work?
Six.
Not four. Not five. Six. That's what it says. Teach them how to work. I could tell you a story, and somebody in here knows. 30-year-olds can't put blades on a mower. What? You know, just say you got 10 blades on this mower, and you've never done it before, so you just go and take them all off? Hello? No, you take one off, then you got another pattern to go by. No, you go take 10 off, you don't have to go back, and a 78-year-old man's having to go down there and do it. Do you not have, you need to teach your kids how to think about working? How does that work? Where do you think they get it from? We're not just born with it. Dads, we got to go, we're already way over, I'm sorry. There's a couple more, but we don't have time. And after he has a job, teach him how to manage his money. How about that one? You know, why don't you start out buying a used car, then you'd have money to put gas in your used car. Instead of spending all your money on a car and then have no money to put gas in it. Wouldn't that be better? You know how many people do that? They'll go out there and spend all their money on a car payment and don't have any money to put gas in it with. Literally. Dads, we need to tighten up. Our generation's already in trouble. I mean, my child's generation is already in trouble. What is our legacy we're leaving? You say, well, I didn't really plan on all that. Well, that's what it is. God can help us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you are merciful, that you do give us a chance that we can recover. Lord, if we instill in our own children how they should live, that it could recover in a generation or two. Father, thank you that you will forgive. Thank you that you're patient. Thank you, you'll help us make it through it because you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all have a great day. And dads, get on your responsibility and let's do it.